It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's weigh-in time for giant pumpkin growers who find out if their prized orange specimens will tip the scales at 2,000 pounds or not. We meet a pumpkin grower in Black River Falls, and you can join in with your questions or comments along the way. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jim Sachanek took sixth place at Altoona's ginormous pumpkin festival recently with a pumpkin weighing in at 1,785 pounds. Wow. Jim, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate.
Oh, my goodness. How long have you been doing this? How long have you been growing giant pumpkins?
12 to 15 years, probably.
What caused you to want to do this? How did you get started?
One of my friends got me interested in it years back, and I started doing it. I bought some seeds from, I believe, a Minnesota grower, Sloss, if I remember it, that was his name. I wish I could remember it. But he sent me some seeds to get me started. I also was introduced to a website that the Wisconsin, there's a club for the giant pumpkin growers, wisconsingiantpumpkingrowers.com. There's a ton of information on there, and they, if you are you become a member with a small donation of like $25, they send you the seeds to get started. They give you, there's all the information and tips. And so I went into that route where my friend that got me started, he didn't take that route. He wasn't computer savvy, nor am I, but I was a little bit ahead of him with the getting that knowledge. So I was able to grow some bigger pumpkins than him right off the bat. So it's fun competition with your friends.
Sounds like you've become part of a community of growers who really, really enjoy this, and there's a lot of camaraderie. You know, how much effort do you have to do through the year to nurture these pumpkins to grow to these colossal sizes?
Well, my wife, she would say it's a full-time job. As much as I'm out in my patch, I'm out there quite a bit, especially in the beginning of the spring, early summer. You're out there multiple times throughout the day for many hours, especially on your weekends. There's a lot to do to get them this big. There is. There's a lot of TLC, and there's a lot of science behind it. I learn more and more every year. You're always learning.
What's in your soil or your compost? What do you feed these giant pumpkins?
Right, that's a really good question. You know, that's one of the I would say the top three things you need to grow a giant pumpkin to get any enormous size like we do is the soil. You should do soil tests at least once a year. And the labs will tell you, if you send them to the right labs, they'll tell you what they recommend. They're fairly close to what they recommend, but there's some small things that should be tweaked a little bit as far as the labs, from what the labs tell you. You want a lot of phosphorus, you know, and calcium. That makes that pumpkin, the shell of the pumpkin, hard and thick. The harder and thicker the shell of that pumpkin, it can withstand that growth. When it hits this peak, when it's growing, they grow extremely fast through a certain period of time, 2-3 week period. They can average anywhere from 40 to 60 plus pounds a day. Some of my pumpkins this year went 62 pounds in a 24-hour period.
Wow.
55 pounds in a day. That was an average on one of my pumpkins. And you want to maintain those averages as much as you can. And if you don't have enough of that phosphorus, like you're asking about the fertilizing and what's in the soil, if that's not in your compost or soil or high enough on your soil test, your pumpkins will blow up. You will have a blossom and blowout. They will split and crack right open. They grow so, when they put on 50 pounds in one day, if they're weak shelled, they're going to split open.
How do you feel about this year's results at the Altoona Ginormous Pumpkin Fest?
I was happy. I did better than I expected. I wasn't sure if I was going to take the top 10. I backed off about a month ago, 3 to 4 weeks before this contest. I backed off watering my pumpkins. I kind of every year I hit a wall where I get burned out, because it does take a lot of work and maintaining and watching for so many things that can go wrong. You just really got to babysit them. And I just hit a wall, so I backed off watering. I did good overall. I took two pumpkins up there. I weighed the smallest of the two. Both pumpkins were only 3 inches apart. And I did not weigh my biggest one. I was saving it for another. My buddy growers talked me into holding off for another contest, possibly in the Coosa next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There's other contests around. So
strategy.
Yes, strategy, exactly. So I was at a point, they were asking, why did you do this? Why? I said, well, I'm done. I'm just done. I'm done. I have other things to do right now that are kind of more important, but I have other plans now with this pumpkin. I did go get it weighed in at a certified scale, and I regret not weighing this one. I would have took fifth place. I would have put Jim Ford into sixth place. He took fifth. He beat me. And thank you, Jim Ford. I think he's listening. Him and I already talked a little bit, so I'm going to give him a little credit. You know, he's given me his seeds and his genetics. He's got good genetics. And he has a ton of knowledge and experience, and I learn a lot from these guys. I have friends around the world that are professional growers, and for them to send me their genetics without paying for them, they send me their seeds for free because I feel like they know I'm a good grower and I take care of them and I do well with them. So they want to see me do good with their genetics. That's what it's about too when we're sharing seeds.
Jim Sochanek with us as we talk about growing giant pumpkins, the art of growing giant pumpkins. Jim's a grower in Black River Falls. You can join in the conversation. Your questions and comments are welcome along the way at 800-642-1234. So, Jim, how do you get these beauties to the weigh-in scale? Like, how do you lift and transport a pumpkin that you know, is weighing in nearly 2,000 pounds?
Right. Everybody likes to wonder that. That's a good question. So there's pumpkin lifting rings. You can buy them. There are people that do manufacture very nice, fancy ones, and you can make homemade ones too, very, very cheap. I made one with the rim of a tire, and when I had Amish neighbors, they put on the straps, like these, they're basically seatbelt straps rated for thousands of pounds because their horses are pulling with these straps. And you wrap a rope around the bottom of the pumpkin, and that rope goes through about 8 of those seatbelt straps that are attached to the lifting ring, which is mine is just a simple rim of a car that I had a welder cut holes out of. And a bobcat comes in and lifts that rim up. As it lifts the rim up, the rope around the bottom tightens, and it tightens all the straps evenly around the pumpkin. So the pumpkin lifts very nice and slow.
Well,
and even
supported.
Yes, very slow. It's a very intense process. It's a very scary, nervous process as a grower when this is happening.
Wow.
Looking at the bottom of the pumpkin, you don't want to see any water running out of it. That has happened to me before. I didn't expect to see that, but that's what you lift the pumpkin up, make sure there's no holes or cracks underneath it that you didn't know about. And sometimes that happens.
I didn't realize just how full of water a pumpkin is.
Yeah, it's, well, putting on that kind of weight, that tells you how much, it's a lot of water. The shell can be 12 to 15 inches or more thick. I've seen them 12 to 15 inches thick, the walls, on many of my pumpkins. So the thicker the walls are, the heavier the pumpkin will be. They can tape and measure the pumpkins and give you an estimated weight, but you don't know for sure until it hits the scale, of course.
I was looking at your tour. You were doing this little video tour around your patch, and it's like the giant pumpkin is surrounded by all these leaves. What do those leaves do for its growth?
Okay, so another good question. That's the energy. That's what brings the energy to the plant for it to do its growth. That's where the photosynthesis kicks in. So every leaf, I look at every leaf is X amount of pounds. So like if I lose a leaf, there goes some pounds off my pumpkin. That's how I look at it. So I remove as few leaves as possible. Once a leaf is starting to touch the pumpkin, I do remove it because it will scratch and scar it. So it will make cosmetic damage to the pumpkin. Otherwise, I will leave all the leaves on because of the energy. That's where the energy comes from for cell division. As that pumpkin is growing, there's massive cell division that's happening. It needs all the power and energy it can possibly to deliver to one fruit on the plant.
Wow, you're giving so much TLC. How do you control, like, insects and disease that could hurt the pumpkin?
Oh, yeah, another good one there. So I do use an insecticide for, like, cucumber beetles in the early spring. They will kill your plants. So will squash bug, or the vine borers, I should say. If the vine borers gets inside your vine, that's an obvious sign your leaves will automatically just wilt. And it will be on one vine where one leaf will wilt, two leaves will wilt. It's all on the same vine. That's a vine borer. They will kill a plant if you don't catch and cut the vine out soon enough. Otherwise, insecticides will manage, keep the insects under control because, yep, insects will destroy the leaves and hurt the photosynthesis, all that. Fungiciding for powdery mildew and other. There's a lot of fun.
There's a lot out there, yeah, that could affect these fragile pumpkins. Jim, thank
Absolutely.
You so much, and all the best.
You're
you
welcome.
Know, there's always next year, right?
There's always next year. Yeah, that's true. That's something none of us growers like to hear or say, but yep, there's always next year.
Oh, Jim Sachanek took sixth place at Altoona's Ginormous Pumpkin Fest recently, pumpkin weighing in at 1,785 pounds. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A shout out to our neighbors, Illinois and Michigan, who are the top pumpkin-producing states, according to figures from the Department of Agriculture. Here in Wisconsin, though, we can explore how pumpkin patches and corn mazes, apple orchards, cranberry marsh tours all contribute to agritourism, and you can call in with a question or comments. The number to talk is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Craig Trost is Communications Director at Travel Wisconsin, the state tourism agency. Craig, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's so fun to be on Fundraising Drive Day. It's really great. And I think we can all agree that even though Illinois and Michigan may produce more pumpkins than we do, we have way more fun than they do.
Oh, such a throwdown there. Well, Craig, you know, Wisconsin having more than a dozen pumpkin patches around the state, how do pumpkin farms contribute to our state tourism?
Yeah, I mean, pumpkin farms and just, you know, our agricultural tourism in general is a huge boost to Wisconsin tourism. And I mean, people, it's a lot of day trippers, a lot of overnight trippers that make their way out. It's so fun. I mean, I say we've been doing farm to table so long, we just call it dinner here in Wisconsin. And the farmers that have opened their farms up to the public are just amazing. And we're so lucky to have them. We've got so many different pumpkin patches, corn mazes, cranberry marsh tours, you name it.
Do you think that's really a way to add value to a pumpkin patch? You know, farmers kind of growing their business by bringing people to their farms and doing everything, you know, with pumpkins and beyond.
Absolutely. It's a really fantastic way to expand your revenue streams. I mean, you know, look, once upon a time they were called farmers, then they were just growing grapes, and then they started to make wine, and then they got tasting rooms. And now we have these amazing wineries all over Wisconsin. And it's very similar with the pumpkin farmers. You know, they've got their pumpkins, they can sell their pumpkins locally and also bring visitors in to experience them firsthand, which is just an amazing family friendly opportunity in Wisconsin. And as we know, the more people that travel, the more money they're spending, the bigger economic impact you have. And folks that are traveling with their families is certainly a larger travel party size.
So you have a list of pumpkin farms all over Wisconsin, and we're going to start with Polly's Pumpkin Patch in Calumet County. What does this pumpkin farm offer visitors?
Yeah, Polly's in Chilton, Wisconsin has 40 different sorts and shapes and sizes and colors of pumpkins. It's really amazing. We all know the orange pumpkins, but they also have green, pink, and blue gourds that you can buy if you want to put a new twist on your jack-o'-lantern on your front porch for the Halloween season. They have two mazes that you can do at Polly's Pumpkin Patch. One of them is a little more challenging. It's got some different checkpoints. The other one is very easy to navigate with young kids. So, lots to do over there at that pumpkin patch.
I like the two different levels of mazes. So, you can certainly cater that to your group if you're needing an extra easy one or something more challenging. You're going to take us to Grant County next. And this is Vespermann's farm. What can you do there?
Yeah, they've been crafting creative and fun corn mazes in Grant County for years. This is in Lancaster. They've got a 5-acre corn maze. It takes about 30 to 90 minutes to complete, depending on how much you get lost while you're in there. But don't get discouraged. Getting lost is half the fun of a corn maze. Once you're done with the corn maze, you can pop out of the corn maze and do a giant Connect Four game. They've got a kiddie train, a zip line, and other activities for the kids to enjoy. And they actually just from 3 miles away, restored and brought in a barn from 1934 that you can enjoy in with food and other events nearby.
Oh, that's really neat. So this is a round barn. Can you give us like a visual?
Yeah, I mean it's exactly what it sounds like. Just picture a barn in the round. Normally we're all familiar with that rectangular red barn. This one's a round barn, which is very unique, and it was built in 1934. So they were kind enough to restore that and preserve that for our history.
Are pumpkins a reliable crop for farmers? Are they easy to grow for them and pretty reliable as a crop?
Yeah, I mean, the pumpkins are, they grow on a vine, and so they're pretty easy as farming goes. I'm not a farmer myself, but yeah, I've never been to a pumpkin farm in Wisconsin that has had a rough year, so to speak, as far as the farming crop is concerned. So, and getting those visitors in really helps round out that revenue stream for them.
Do you find that there's growing competition among farmers with the pumpkin patch business?
I would say that there are more and more farmers turning to agricultural tourism. However, I think that it's more collaborative than it is competitive. That seems to be the way of it in the tourism industry. It's a very Wisconsin nice way. They share tips and tricks and how to get the liability waivers and insurance and things like that for each other so that they can bring in even more visitors. I mean, if you think about it, if somebody wants to go out and explore a pumpkin patch, why not hit two on the same day, right? And so it's a very collaborative business.
Craig Trost with us, Communications Director at Travel Wisconsin, as we visit Wisconsin Pumpkin Farms, talk agritourism in Wisconsin. And you can join in at any point in the conversation. Call in to talk with a question or comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Craig, you say people should visit Momsen's Harvest Hills in Rice Lake. What's happening there?
Yeah, Momsen's in Rice Lake is amazing. First of all, you're not going to miss it. When you pull off the road, there's a 30-foot tall pumpkin pyramid right out front, so you can't miss it. I actually went to their website before this interview because I was really curious about some of the offerings that they had. And right on their front page of their website, they have a Facebook review. Get this, the best caramel apples anywhere. That is
Oh.
quite a declarative sentence there. And I mean, in addition to carving pumpkins and getting up and close with animals, a lot of these farms nowadays have petting zoos and things. So, while you're waiting for the corn maze, or when you get done with the corn maze, you got to go pet the zoo animals, or the farm animals, as it were. So, yeah, check out Momsen's. They're open daily through the end of October. They've got hay rides on the weekends. You can even pick apples right on site on their orchard.
Wow. Okay. So now take us to Trinan Farm in Columbia County. And they do such an amazing job with corn mazes through the years. Can you talk about this year's design?
I go every year to Trinan Farms. It is amazing near Lodi. They have been named the top 10 corn maze in the country by USA Today. And this year's corn maze is amazing. It's titled To All the Good Dogs, and it depicts the moments a dog asks a person to play. That is just the most creative corn maze design I've ever heard of, and it's amazing. They also have three pumpkin patches, and you can just, you know, find the perfect pumpkin for carving. They've got over 50 different varieties of pumpkin to choose from, and wheelbarrows and wagons that you can use to load them up, take them out of the field.
Oh, that's fabulous. How about these cranberry tours? You know, as we are the largest global producer of cranberries, can people visit these marshes to experience what's going on there?
You know, I think this is the secret gem of Wisconsin that we're trying not to, you know, we're trying to let the secret out as much as we can. You know, Wisconsin produces more than 60% of America's cranberries. We're the largest producer in the world, as you said. And a Splash of Red cranberry tours in Wood County is great. It's hosted by the Pittsville FFA, and the funds raised help fund student scholarships, trips, and other FFA activities. It's a two-hour tour. It is fascinating. I got to stand in my first marsh last fall. I can't believe it took me this long, but going into a cranberry marsh was just amazing. But on this tour, you get to watch the cranberries as they're flooded the marshes and collected. Then you observe the testing and the cleaning and the freezing involved in the processing of cranberries. And then you can even pick cranberries straight from the vine before enjoying, of course, a cranberry-based lunch to wrap up your tour.
Will I, like, need waders? Will I get to be knee-deep in a cranberry bog?
I don't think that one allows you to go into the marsh, but there are other marsh tours that you can do, certainly.
I want to put on the overalls that are connected to the boots. I want that full experience, right?
You got to get those waders on. Absolutely. Get out there, slosh around. I got to go out in a little place called Rooted in Red last year, and I am so grateful. They've got a cute little gift shop in there, all things cranberry. And they were like, yeah, throw on the waders, go out and splash around for a little while. So I got a couple of selfies out in the cranberry marsh and hopped out and bought a cranberry scented candle.
Well, let's take a call now. Steve in Wanakee. Steve, hi.
Hi, good morning. What an interesting topic for the season. I'm just pondering, at the end of Halloween season, I drive by fields and there's still pumpkins out there. I guess there are plenty to go around. So what happens to all those pumpkins? What are the different ways they're put to use?
Wow. What do you do with all the leftover pumpkins, Craig?
Well, that's a good question. And I have to preface this by saying I'm not a farmer. I know a lot of the pumpkins that don't get sold get turned into food, but I am not part of the food processing process. So I don't know exactly how they do all of that. But, you know, you need your pumpkin filling and things like that for, you know, mom's famous pumpkin pie and all those things. So there's plenty of ways. Those farmers do everything they can to squeeze every last dime out of their crops. And so they do everything they can to make sure that they don't go to waste. Some of them get turned into food for other farm animals and food for us humans. And they really do a great job of cleaning up those fields so that they can be fresh and ready for next year's pumpkin patch.
Do you like pumpkin pie?
Oh my goodness. Pumpkin pie is amazing. It's easily one of my top three favorite.
Oh, Craig, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for the tour.
Yeah, thank you, Kate, for having me, and best of luck with your fundraising drive.
Appreciate it. Craig Trost, Communications Director at Travel Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.